This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
It's official. My stomach has started growling, but that's the good news, I suppose. It means that I'm burning calories as I talk. I don't know why, but burning calories does happen when you talk a lot. Maybe because I talk fast, I talk with my hands, I move around in my chair, and then I do get up and move around because I go over to our side studio and do different prep work or listen to audio during the break. So I'm not sitting here the whole time. When I was driving into work, I heard this study, by the way. A lot of people have standing desks. Not sure if you know anyone in your office or maybe at your home. My sister-in-law, she does not sit down. She stands the entire time. Her boss gave her a standing desk. But apparently, the studies show that standing for more than 2 hours at a time can actually be as detrimental as sitting on your ass all day long. So what they recommend is, really, there's no benefit to a standing desk unless, of course, you have some kind of a back issue, but that you should be up and down, up and down, up and down, probably every 30 minutes. And that definitely applies to us here, which may be why my stomach is generally growling around the third hour of the show. Now, this is a little early, so I have an apple, some yogurt, some blueberries left, but it's a grocery store morning, which means I'll be going to the grocery store hungry. Pete, you know what happens when you go to the grocery store hungry.
Bills triple the amount.
Well, it's that anyway in 2024, but yes, I'll probably end up buying a few things that maybe I wouldn't have otherwise. Sometimes, though, I'll admit, I'll buy a bag of chips or a bag of Goldfish, something along those lines, and start eating it even before I get out of the store because I'm so hungry. So I'll try. I'll try to hold the hunger at bay. Maybe I have to hit the vending machine. So yeah, there's good news. I'm burning calories, but the bad news is it's a grocery store morning. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Now, you see, that is the only instance where you need to tell the good news first because it makes sense to tell the good news. If you tell the bad news first,
only instance.
You don't get it.
That seems very restrictive. That's true. Are you a good news first or bad news first person? You can find that poll up at A-Law Radio. And then our Facebook page, lots of you weighing in and giving us the reasons why. I do love good news. Good news can keep me floating all day long. Bad news, it obviously can be heavy and weigh on you. Generally, when I hear good news, as I say, it gives me a lift. When I hear bad news, I'll stop, I'll process. Depending on how bad the news, it might stick with me for a couple of days, but I become resolute and I'm ready to face the bad news. Again, that comes with just being a person who's lived through a lot of stuff and life, let's be honest, it sucks sometimes. So if you live any amount of time on this earth, you're going to recognize that A, it's hard to survive. Like my mother-in-law is about to turn 82, I believe, or just turned 82, excuse me. Good morning, Mom. She just turned 82, and she says she doesn't want to mark birthdays anymore. But I said to her, are you kidding me? It's hard to survive on this planet until 82 years old. You should be thrilled about that. Anyway, so I go good news first, usually, because it softens the blow with the bad news. But most of you right now are saying you go bad news first. So we'll start with the bad news in our QB news.
Mahomes gunning it long, coming down the near side, the pass is caught, touchdown, Kansas City!
Three steps, throwing, loud, left corner of the end zone, touchdown!
Play action, Love, looking, winds up, rainbows, Watson there, touchdown!
Yes!
And a Lambeau leap!
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
Portion of the show is brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes, up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam and just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states. As I say, we're going to start with the bad news first. Did you know that Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, both the victims of burglaries in their homes in Kansas City, and it apparently happened, according to the authorities, when they were at the stadium, when they were playing a game. In fact, in the case of Travis Kelce, it seemingly happened right after kickoff of a recent game. So this goes back about a month ago. It wasn't this past weekend. But yeah, both of their homes were broken into. I did not hear what was stolen from Patrick's house, but I did hear thousands of dollars in cash were stolen. The number that was reported was $20,000 in cash stolen from Travis Kelce's house. So I don't know all the details, only that's got to be disconcerting, especially if maybe you have a camera system or an alarm system, or you've got security, and yet somehow people were able to get into your home when you were not there.
Obviously, it's frustrating. It's disappointing. But I can't get into too many of the details because the investigation is still ongoing. But obviously, something that you don't want to happen to really anybody, but obviously yourself.
Now, it would appear as though this crew, and it's been reported the crew is actually one of those transient crews. They move around. They're not specific to Kansas City, but I guess there's no way of knowing that right away until you catch them. But if you're Patrick Mahomes, you think maybe this was done because they expected you wouldn't be home. The thing is, he's got a wife who's pregnant and two young children. And so forget whatever possessions you might have in your home. It's scary to think about the fact that you could potentially be at a practice or even at a game, and maybe your wife decides not to go to the game with your kiddos, and then they are left behind at the house. So that's really scary if I'm Patrick. And I did hear the report, too, that the night before the game, Travis and Taylor Swift was in town, so they were at a hotel near the stadium. They weren't staying at his house the night before, but again, his home was broken into allegedly during the time that a Chiefs game was going on at Arrowhead Stadium. So there's the bad news first. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, although I guess it's bad news for Joe Flacco or Gardner Minshew if we're talking about recent quarterback changes, but we'll get to the good news part of things. The Gardner Minshew experiment has not been a positive one for the Las Vegas Raiders. It's likely to be a one and done situation. We know that Antonio Pierce is not thrilled with their offense. He did bring in Desmond Ridder, and yet for now, it's a tenuous situation. They're going to stick with Gardner.
Listen, when we brought in Gardner, we expected obviously the play that we had seen in the past, and you know, at some point you got to give a guy confidence. And there's been times, obviously, with turnovers and other things that have taken place where we made decisions to, you know, either put him on a bench or go with another quarterback. But this week I felt like, you know, Gardner gives us the best opportunity to move forward. And he has every opportunity to go out there and help us get to a win.
See, that's the problem is Antonio Pierce qualifies it with this week. This week, we're going to stick with Gardner. So that's what I mean. This is not great news for Minshew, though he is given an opportunity against the Dolphins in Miami on Sunday to prove that Pierce is right and they should be sticking with him at QB1. Now, when you're talking about the Colts, I think a lot of people had wondered why this move didn't come last week. But according to Shane Steichen, now Anthony Richardson will be the starter moving forward.
He will be our starter again. He's going to start this week. He's going to start the rest of the season. All right, and we're going to go from there. And I informed Joe of the decision yesterday. He's the ultimate pro. He respects the decision, understands it. I talked to the team this morning about it as well. I informed them of the decision. And look, everyone has a different journey, right? Everyone has a different way, development and how you go about the process. And everyone wants instant gratification right now. And sometimes it doesn't work like that. And you fight through these times. And I love Anthony. He's a great person. Got great faith in him and his abilities to be our franchise quarterback.
He told me I was going to be the starter, you know, from here on out. But it's up to me to, you know, keep my job. You know, I got to make sure I'm doing the right thing and keep showcasing to the same that I can be the guy, and that I am the guy for this team. So it's not really up to him. I felt like the past couple of weeks was up to me as well. You know, I just got to showcase the work and just keep showing him that I'm willing to be the quarterback.
Second-year QB, who was a raw draft pick at number 4 a year ago, got hurt, only played a handful of games, has been on and off the field this year. Remember the whole incident where he checked himself out of a game? He actually asked to come out of a game on third down, and that did not sit well with his team or with anyone else, really. And he says, I'm a leader. I've got to make sure I don't do that. But according to Shane Steichen, they really were asking Anthony Richardson to take ownership of not just his performance on the field, but also how he prepares and paying attention to detail. And these are all ways that you have to learn to be a pro. And so the last couple weeks, Shane believes that he's seen part of what he wants to see from his second year QB.
I want to address, you know, Anthony's situation. You know, I've said the process for a long time. And what I mean by that, it's the attention to detail in everything he does, from the classrooms to the walkthroughs to practice to the weight room, all those little things, right? It just got to be at a higher standard. And that's what was talked about, and that's where we went with it. And so that was discussed with him 2 weeks ago, and those were the conversations that took place. And over the last 2 weeks, he's made strides in those areas, big-time strides, becoming a pro's pro. And is he a finished product? No, he's not. And it's my job to help him get there along with the rest of the coaching staff. But he's a hell of a talent. Like I said, we've never lost faith or belief in him and his abilities.
I'm willing to be a pro. You know, I'm willing to sacrifice anything that I need to do for the team. You know, I feel like these past 2 weeks has definitely opened my eyes and allowed me to have the opportunity to do that and just take a deeper dive and look into myself and see what I'm, you know, made of. So I'm thankful for these past 2 weeks, and I'm low-key glad they hope they have it.
And so it is Anthony Richardson's job the rest of the season. And that to me makes sense because the Colts can't afford to waste any more time. They have to find out if this is the guy to whom they should be hitching their wagon, right? Is he the star to whom you should be hitching your wagon? And if not, it's time to pivot at the end of the season. Not necessarily a number one draft pick or number two, but maybe throw your hat in the ring for a different veteran quarterback. I mean, Joe Flacco, as Shane talks about, is a pro's pro, but we know what he is. He's got a limited ceiling. You need to find out if that raw potential with Anthony Richardson can be harnessed into a smart quarterback, one who makes better decisions, one who protects himself, but also one who can lead the team. He's got a cannon for an arm. Can he be accurate? Can he know the playbook? Can he be ready when he's thrown out there in pressure situations? So all those things are part of the learning process, but it sounds like they didn't believe he was taking that professional approach as much or as intensely as they needed him to. So this is his chance to earn the franchise job with the Colts. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Now, we know they're sticking with Caleb Williams in Chicago, but they did make a change at offensive coordinator, and Matt Eberflus, he was expanding on that a little bit this week.
Obviously, you guys saw in the past 48 hours working through some things and obviously released Shane Waldron. I just want to thank him for his hard work and dedication through the whole process there. But I thought it was best for the Bears and for our team at this point to move on from the, Shane and as the play caller and then working into Thomas. Met with him yesterday and very excited about him being the play caller and the offensive coordinator, our leader of our offense going forward for the rest of the season. And brings passion, energy, tenacity, toughness, collaboration. You could certainly see that yesterday during the game planning phase of using all the minds and everybody there. I thought that was excellent to see with those guys working together, you know, to get to the best answers for our first and second down game plan and our third down working into today. But really excited about that decision.
I don't get to choose the decisions, nor do I get to choose whether the decision is good, bad, or indifferent. My job is to listen and from there go do my job.
So Caleb Williams is putting to bed any idea that he got a say in the offensive coordinator, and that to me would be extreme. You ask your rookie quarterback what he thinks about the OC, nah. That'd be a little bit like inmates running the asylum. So no, that should not be happening. This is tough, and we know that Matt Eberflus has talked about the team being frustrated. They've struggled for the last 3 weeks. That's his word, struggled for the last 3 weeks. Caleb Williams is at the center of it, though it's not on him. You get sacked 9 times. Well, maybe some of that is because you're not cognizant of where the pressure is coming from or the blitz. Maybe you're holding onto the ball too long. You're indecisive. Or maybe it's about your receivers not getting open. But it's also about your offensive line. So it's a total offensive failure against the New England Patriots. And yet Caleb is saying he still believes he's got the support of the locker room.
I think those guys are, you know, good, easy. We talk about it. I got full support from them. I've gotten texts or calls or people coming up to me, with this situation that just happened, coming up to me and saying, we got your back. We're with you. Things like that. And let's go. That kind of mindset and attitude, has been what it's been, this past couple of days. That's kind of what it's only been.
I hope for them that they get it turned around, but it is a tough week to do that. They're in Chicago, but they've got the Packers in town. This is one of the game's oldest rivalries, Packers-Bears. It's terrific always. Remember all those years in which Aaron Rodgers said, I own you, I bleeping own you. Well, let's see if maybe Caleb Williams and the Bears defense and special teams, and yes, offense at some point, can turn the tide despite having a new play caller and a new leader in the clubhouse when it comes to the offense. Aaron Rodgers, we'll get to him in a second, but we're also looking, so that's going to be one of your game of the week options. We're also looking at these other games on the schedule, which are delicious, and that includes Ravens and Steelers coming up Sunday. It's a 10 a.m. Pacific time kickoff, but 1 p.m. in Pittsburgh, and weirdly enough, the two-time NFL MVP Lamar Jackson has actually kind of struggled against the Steelers. Why is that?
I don't know what it is. Man, it's just that I believe that rival atmosphere. I believe last year we supposed to have them, but things just didn't go our way. You know, the football guys wasn't on our side, but it's a whole nother year. It's a new year. I'm looking forward to the game.
So right now the Ravens are 1-3 against the Steelers when Jackson is the quarterback. They are 17-5 against the rest of the AFC North with Jackson under center. So Pittsburgh is the only team. Now, think about the defense that Mike Tomlin's put together since Lamar Jackson became the quarterback for the Ravens. But Pittsburgh's the only team against which he's thrown more interceptions than touchdown passes. That, to me, speaks volumes of the preparation for Tomlin, the veteran defense, of course, and just understanding this rivalry to a T. Now, we'll hear from Mike Tomlin a little bit later, maybe not tonight, but at some point. He loves the Ravens rivalry, and he points to Harbs. He calls him Harbs, John Harbaugh, because, yeah, these two coaches are two of the longest tenured in the NFL. But he does have strong praise always for Lamar Jackson and actually is highlighting what he's been able to do recently with the tight ends.
Mr. Jackson, obviously,
Mr. Jackson
is at the sticks. He's a challenge. He's a challenge in all circumstances. He's doing a really nice job of spreading the ball around to a variety of people. His tight end tandem is special.
Isaiah Likely and, of course, Mark Andrews, who's a multi-time Pro Bowler, is healthy again. So he ends up with the 10 games played, yes. But remember, in the first 5, he did not catch any touchdown passes. On a bit of a tear now. He's got 5, and would you believe that leads the team? So even though he didn't catch any in the first handful, he's now tops on the team in receiving touchdowns with 5. And so, of course, you've got to pay attention to both those guys. Was Isaiah Likely caught a game-winning touchdown at one point, though, this season, if I remember correctly, too. And so they are a formidable tandem along with Lamar and then Derrick Henry in the backfield. The game of the week will be your choice. Ravens Steelers is an option. We're actually going to start the poll early this week, because the Thursday night game is a doozy. It's Eagles and Commanders out of the NFC East. Jalen Hurts, high praise for the rookie Jaden Daniels.
I've always thought he's, you know, a great player, been able to win the Heisman, all the success he's had, and even until this point.
And then, of course, there's familiarity with Dan Quinn, who left the Cowboys as their D coordinator and is now the head coach of the Commanders. And so Jalen Hurts couldn't get rid of him. The Eagles can't get rid of him. Dan Quinn is still driving defense against Philadelphia.
Yeah, he's versatile. You know, he has a multiple approach to how he does things, and it's always available in there. So, you know, like the best of them, it's about adjusting and being able to do what you see fit in that moment, you know, and that's what they've done a really good job of doing.
Think about the other offenses in the NFC East. He leaves Dallas. He goes to Washington. Now the Cowboys have to face him and his defense. Now it's a young defense. It's a work in progress. But, yeah, they couldn't get rid of him in the division. He stays there. And that defense that was so good in Dallas definitely misses him, plus the injuries that have taken a toll. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We don't have the Game of the Week poll up yet. We're going to wait till our final hour, but we decided to launch it early because we've got this incredible matchup, at least on paper. Let's hope it lives up to the hype, the shizzle hype. I don't know where that came from. I should never try to be cool. Pete's trying not to laugh at me. It's let's hope it's the schnizzle. Yeah, I don't.
Take two.
Right. Also not any better. In the meantime, we've got a different poll. Are you bad news or good news first? When someone gives you the option, which kind of a person are you? At A-Law Radio, at Amy After Hours, on our Facebook page too. Glad to have you with us. If you're waking up on your Thursday, oh, we're so close to the weekend. Good morning. Good morning to you from the Infinity Sports Network.
It's the first time Ohtani in his career has had a three-home run game. Can you believe this? 10 runs batted in for Ohtani. That's also a career high. 51 home runs for Shohei Ohtani. This is the show that never ends. Can you believe this man?
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
There's 50,000 people tonight that came to this ball game, and 50,000 people came to watch Shohei Ohtani. And it seems like every single night he gives them something special.
Shohei 16 for his last 19 with runners in scoring position. That's where Smith is on second. The pitch is hit high in the air, right field, hooking toward the pole, and this ball is fair and gone. Shohei Ohtani unloads a three-run home run here in the top of the eighth inning. His second of the postseason makes it 7-0 L.A.
You've got the baseball awards coming up on Thursday night. Now, here's the thing. Amazon Prime has got football. So you could have Amazon Prime football on your laptop or device, and then you could watch the baseball awards on your TV or vice versa, either one of those. But yes, we get to find out whether or not Shohei Ohtani, who recently underwent surgery to repair his torn rotator cuff, we get to find out if he, in fact, is about to haul in his third MVP award. It would be just the first in the National League. Steven Nelson with the calls there on the Dodgers radio network. Now, a lot of people would tell you that it's essentially a done deal, that he is, in fact, going to win it. In fact, it I don't know why I said fact again. It might even be a unanimous MVP because of his 50-50 season. Now, just remember, the postseason has nothing to do with it. So playoffs don't count. This is a regular season award. But in the regular season, I mean, Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman, they're both MVPs in their own rights. But remember, they missed a good portion of the year, each of them, because of injuries. And then Freddie was out with some personal stuff as well. Absolutely made up for his absence in the World Series. But as we think about Ohtani with the 50-50, the actually near 60 stolen bases, along with the, is it 54 home runs that he finished up with? I think it was 59 stolen bases and 54 home runs. So Pete will confirm that. But there are a lot of people who believe this will be a walkover in Major League Baseball. 54 homers. Thank you, producer Pete. It could also be a landslide in the American League.
The pitch. Swing and a fly ball. Deep down the right field line. Brennan's only going to watch. It is gone. Onto the porch. Aaron Judge. He strikes again as he turns up the slug in the fourth. Home run number 48. 1-0 Yankees.
It's just fun to watch him, first of all, who he is and his, and the teammate that he is. But then just his desire and obsession with, man, just getting a little bit better each and every year. And that's what we're seeing.
Judge, it's a high fly to center. Back goes Thomas.
Ruh-roh.
On the track, near the wall. She's gone! Aaron Judge hit the ball so high, you wondered. It came down in Monument Park. It's a Judgeian blast. All rise. Here comes the Judge.
Aaron Boone, and then the Yankees Radio Network with John Sterling. And this is one of those nights where we have to hire a corrections department. I just saw Thursday and thought, okay, great. That's something we have to look forward to on this Thursday night. But we were only, producer Pete, only a week off. So there goes the perfect show. Do you want the good news or do you want the bad news? They're coming up. We'll find out in a week. The bad news is I suck. That's the bad news.
Just for clarification, so the manager of the year, both managers of the years are on November 19th on MLB Network, 6 p.m. So we got that MLB Network.
Okay, but MVPs.
MVPs are next week, this time next week, 6 p.m. November
Eastern
21st.
Time. Yep, so 3 o'clock for Shohei Ohtani, if he is still in L.A., which I'm assuming he had the surgery here. I don't know why I would assume. I could probably look that up. But yes, I apologize. I was thinking that the awards were going to be this week. Instead, you've got the various early rounds of awards. So the Rookie of the Year finalists, that's both AL and NL on the 18th. Then you got Manager of the Year on the 19th, as Pete points out. And then, as we're looking now a week out, it's next Thursday. We'll find out about the MVPs.
And me thinking, oh, they must have made it a big award show Saturday. Woo-hoo. Oh, this is going to be nice. I could watch that tonight, too.
We totally screwed that up.
Our bad.
Well, yes. And I'll just take credit for it because I'm the one who's like, la, 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 it's Thursday night. But it's next Thursday night. It's after hours. I'm not going to tell you who I am. If you don't know, just no need to know. But his name's Pete, and he runs the corrections department. So you can send all of your complaints at Amy after hours. It's terrific. It's absolutely terrific. I think earlier, too, so if we're adding up the different intel that needs to be corrected, I thought Chiefs and Bills was Sunday night football. It's Sunday afternoon football.
Right. Sunday night game.
Yeah, take a nap. Well, no. Not if you're a Bengals or a Chargers fan. Right. Don't take a nap.
Which was flexed in from Jets Colts.
Right.
This is that week.
Now, it makes sense, too, because there is no chance. I mean, not a snowball's chance in hell that the CBS peeps wanted to give up Chiefs and Bills in Buffalo. There's no way. So that was never going to be flexed. They weren't giving that up to NBC. That's a game that's been circled on the calendar that they get and will have massive ratings. Massive ratings.
We should hire a whole department for scheduling.
We should hire a whole department for corrections. Okay,
corrections.
So coming up next Thursday, here are your MVP finalists. First in the National League, we mentioned Shohei Ohtani. Yes, Francisco Lindor, how he powered the Mets from, I mean, they were on life support. They had barely a pulse to get to the, again, not a postseason award, but to get to the wild card there in the National League East, and then to move on to the point where they were in the, don't tell me, NLCS. Okay. See how quickly this all blends together? Ask me who won the World Series 5 years ago, and I might have a hard time. It would take me. I'd have to go back counting on my fingers to who won the World Series in 2019. Don't tell me. It wasn't the Dodgers. It wasn't the Astros. It was the Nationals.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, I feel so much smarter than I portray myself just in this moment. Blind squirrel finds a nut.
But when you said that, I was just figuring out, 19.
5 years ago. So Francisco Lindor with the Mets, Ketel Marte with the Diamondbacks, and then Shohei Ohtani with the Dodgers. So two coming out of the NL West. And then also next Thursday, Aaron Judge, Juan Soto. Now here's where I wonder, although I don't think it will happen in this case, but when you have two candidates from one team, sometimes the votes will cannibalize each other. In fact, their candidacies will end up knocking each other out or canceling each other out. But Soto, while he did have a career year, and they do not get to the World Series without him. In fact, they probably could have taken Aaron Judge out of the lineup and still made the World Series because he'd had another dubious postseason. But Judge, he was a Triple Crown candidate for most of the year and led the majors in homers and RBI, if I remember correctly. And then Bobby Witt Jr. of the Royals had a terrific year, too. And the way that the Royals rallied to make the postseason, awesome story. So we've got all kinds of cool stories all over the place. But it's not till next Thursday that we find out about the MVPs. So
getting you all hyped.
Better late than never. Right. I kind of feel like they should be doing it this week. But no, this means you can fully focus on what's to come Thursday night football. And then, of course, there will be some NBA games. We'll get back to some of the NBA highlights at the top of the hour, only because it was a night in which the stars were shining brightly. But the schedule for Thursday, if you're wondering about competition, just one game. Huh. Interesting. It's almost like the NBA is laying out for NFL. Because they knew Commanders-Eagles was going to gobble up the majority of the attention from sports fans. Thursday night is just one game on NBA TV, Dallas-Utah.
It's been fairly light, though, on Thursdays, I've noticed.
Well, because the TNT games aren't there anymore, right?
Yeah. Like, I believe last week was three. There was three games on
Thursday. It generally is lighter on Thursday only because they used to have the TNT doubleheader and then one other game.
Right.
So now because of TNT and it's last year and all that jazz, so it's different now. But just one game, which means all of your attention can be focused on Eagles Commanders. And top of the hour, we'll do a little more on that game. Also, we'll have the poll up. So we generally wait for the after hours game of the week poll until Thursday night, which means we can't include Thursday night football. But this week, it's so good that Mama said, knock you out. Is that what we're doing next? Mama said, knock you out.
Sure.
Sweet. I got to go record a minute, but I'll be back. It's actually 30 seconds, but who's counting? Here's our latest sports update. I'm trying to be authentic and honest and have the corrections department stay away from me. Here's Marco Belletti.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
And AM is sponsored by Mint Mobile. Switching at half off unlimited premium wireless at mintmobile.com/score. Well, after 2 weeks on the bench, the Colts once again in the hands of Anthony Richardson. Shane Steichen going back to Richardson with Joe Flacco going back to the bench. And Steichen feels good about the work Richardson has done behind the scenes the last couple weeks and making sure he understands what goes into everyday work to be an NFL quarterback.
Over the last 2 weeks, he's made strides in those areas, big-time strides, becoming a pro's pro. And is he a finished product? No, he's not. And it's my job to help him get there along with the rest of the coaching staff. But he's a hell of a talent. Like I said, we've never lost faith or belief in him and his abilities.
Checking the NBA with the Cavs look to remain perfect on the season.
Mitchell on the right side, steps left, three. He hit another one. Donovan Mitchell with three threes here in the fourth. He's got five in the game, 112-104, Cavaliers by eight. Oh, what a close by Donovan Mitchell.
Donovan Mitchell, 23 points, 13 rebounds, 9 assists. Cavs 13-0 to begin the year. Top the Sixers, 114-106. Call courtesy of the Cavs Radio Network. Rest of your scores, Bucks outlast the Pistons in overtime, 127-120. As Giannis Antetokounmpo poured in 59. to go along with 14 rebounds and 7 assists. Lakers erased the Grizzlies 128-123 behind a triple-double from LeBron James, including 35 points. Bulls withstood the Knicks 124-123. Spurs outscored the Wizards 139-130, courtesy of the first 50-point game of Victor Wembanyama's career. Celtics dismissed the Nets 139-114. Blazers got past the T-Wolves 106-98. Kings punished the Suns 127-104. Rockets handled the Clippers 111-103. Thunder rolled the Pelicans 106-88, and the Magic took out the Pacers 94-90. College hoops, UConn dominated Lemoyne 90-49. Auburn ripped Kent State 79-56. Houston punished Louisiana 91-45. Tennessee drubbed Montana 92-57. Creighton pounded Houston Christian 78-43. Arkansas smothered Troy 65-49, and St. John's just overpowered Wagner 66-45. I'm Marco Belletti.
This is the Infinity Sports Network. Follow us on Instagram. Our handle is Infinity Sports Network. That's Infinity Sports Network to follow us on Instagram.
Big fan of LL Cool J, both the performer and the actor. Great entertainer, and he's provided the spark upon which we step into the knockout round. Now, if I ask kids, whether kids that I coach in basketball or my kiddos at church, they want to play knockout, they immediately run to the free throw line with a bunch of basketballs. Two, actually, so they love knockout. But this is completely different. Pete's going to try to knock me. No. It's about me knocking out one of the options and leaving one standing.
That's right. Round one in the press conference battle, Mike Tomlin or Dan Campbell?
Oh, gosh, this is so tough. And if you had added a third dude in here that we just heard from this past week as a head coach for the first time, Darren Rizzi, it'd be even harder competition because I want to hear more of Darren Rizzi just kind of running his mouth about how he's not head coaching material and he clogged the toilet before he went out onto the field for the first time. I mean, who doesn't want to hear more of those potty stories?
I'm like, okay, this is not really a great start to the day. Here we go. And so, yeah, I'm not really feeling like a head coach of an NFL team right now. So
he'll probably rein it in this coming week, but that was radio gold. I'm going to go with Mike Tomlin. He's the OG when it comes to this. His vocabulary.
We want him to be fat and sassy and spoiled.
Yeah, his vocabulary is impeccable. And I always learn something from him. But also, he's no nonsense. He's no excuses. Every now and then we get a laugh from him.
He didn't urinate down his leg, man. That's a great place to begin.
In our recent YouTube video, you asked me who would I rather play for in the NFL right now. And I said Dan Campbell with a nod to Mike Tomlin. So in this particular case, press conference, nod to Dan Campbell, but choosing Mike Tomlin.
You know I'm a degenerate.
I would happen to agree. Round two, next season in the NBA, Giannis as a Buck or Giannis as a Net?
A Net?
Yeah, Brooklyn Net. That's a possibility if Giannis doesn't stay in with the Bucks.
I'll say Bucks. I'll say Milwaukee recognizes what they have. And he's going to be a Buck again next year. Yeah. Also, a Net, if that's your next best option.
Well, I don't know if it's the next best option, but it's maybe the more logical one in terms of cap and room and ability to.
All right, we'll see. There's always the exceptions built into every single salary cap.
All right, an amendment,
for the NBA.
An amendment there, then. Mm-hmm. Giannis has a Buck or the field.
I'll go the field. I'll say he's ready for a change. I just don't think it would be Brooklyn more appealing than Milwaukee. But it seems like, especially they have another season like last year, where they're just not on the same page. Now, Doc Rivers provides some stability. They don't have Damian Lillard right now. But he just had a 59-point game. If he continues to play this way and they win, then he stays. But for now, I'll take the field.
Okay, round three. One game-winning shot. Wow. You have that ability. One game-winning shot. Brunson or Brown?
Oh, Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown, beyond a shadow of a doubt. He's proven it on the NBA championship stage. He was the Eastern Conference Finals MVP. He was the NBA Finals MVP. Jaylen has been through hell and back when it comes to basketball. He's played at his worst on the biggest stage, and he had to live with that, but he's found redemption. Jaylen Brown And his skill set, to me, is still more extensive than Jalen. Though I am a huge fan of Jalen Brunson, and I do believe that he is the reason why the Knicks are on the uptick. He runs the show. It's his team. But Jalen's a proven commodity on the championship stage.
All right, experience time. Pick the better experience for you. Playing golf with Caitlin Clark or playing pickup hoops with Caitlin Clark?
Which one would I like better? Better experience? I think the golf course, because you'd get more time and it's not quite as loud. So basketball, the ball's constantly moving. You're having to play defense. You're running around like a crazy person. Not that I would be playing any kind of defense on her, but it would still be fun to run full court or whatever. But you don't have as much time to just talk and kind of soak it in. A good golf round is about 3 hours, sometimes longer, depending upon where you're playing. I think it'd be fun to get in a golf cart and tool around with her and just get to know her a little bit. And you can't really do that in basketball. Plus, I love being outside. And the best part about golf is being able to soak in, let's hope, the sun, the nice temps, and the laughing, because I constantly laugh at myself. She just looks so relaxed, regardless of the stage, whether it's golf, whether it's basketball, whether it's a commercial, whether it's an award show, whether she's speaking to a crowd. She has got this uncanny ability to just be comfortable in the spotlight. That's not me. So golf, I think, would be a little less of a pressure cooker.
And plus, I think she'd be uber competitive playing the pickup basketball. I think it would be a little more a change of...
Yeah, no thanks. I don't need to get aggression. Schooled by Caitlin Clark.
All right. Round five, final round. The DMV with a return visit. I'm going to throw that in there. Or the neighbor's light.
Meaning I have to knock one out or I have to take one? Explain, just
right,
so I get it.
All right. Knock one experience out.
Okay.
Or take whatever you have. Gotcha. You want to word it.
I will take the DMV every week for the next year if it will mean this neighbor's intrusive, disturbing, frustrating, bright light that shines through every single window in the back of our house and fills our new room with this uncanny, eerie, almost alien light. I will take the DMV once a week for the next year if this neighbor's light can get knocked out. Please, I'm begging. Anything. I'll do anything.
Okay.
The town is on it. The town has sent the notice, and we have no doubt that as soon as the neighbor receives the notice, he's going to come pounding on our door, threatening us. But the last time that we tried to talk to him, he slammed the door in our face, so I don't know if we're going to answer. We'll stick our dog on him.
And that's the knockout. That's a combo right there. More than a combo.
Nice. So I just was laughing over the fact, maybe I shouldn't, but I'm not going to take myself too seriously, laughing over the fact that we had your MVP award in baseball being unveiled tonight. It's not the case. We're just prepping you for next Thursday. But on the heels of that, I just saw a friend repost this from MLB, and it's Twix. The opening day doubleheader, March 27th. You ready? On March 27th, now this is in the United States, I'm assuming.
I hope.
Because aren't they doing international again?
They are.
Okay. So I think this is opening day, March 27th, domestic.
Yeah.
Okay. Domestic baseball. Brewers and Yankees. That's the first half of the doubleheader. Tigers and Dodgers is the second half of the doubleheader. So that's a pair of interleague games to start out. But think about the star power with those teams. Otani and Judge likely to be MVPs again. Tarek Skubal, so he would be the opening day starter if he's healthy, more than likely going to be the Cy Young Award winner against the Dodgers. Right? So, interesting.
Okay. That second game is more appealing than that first game, especially if Juan Soto is not a Yankee.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, wait, hold on. Do I have to write? I think I...
Oh, no, wait a minute.
No.
Oh.
No, it's got... I think I've got it. I think I've got it. We'll figure it out. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.